October 28th. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, beginning at verse 54, and we'll go through the end of the book of Jeremiah, which is chapter 52, verse 34. Well, the Persians would come out of the north, defeat Babylon, and leave it desolate. Babylon had been God's hammer and cup and battle axe to bring his judgment to the sinful nations. But now her sins would be judged, particularly her brutal treatment of Israel. Jeremiah's prophecy opens with God saying, "I am ready to perform my word." And it closes with evidence that God did what he said he would do. He always has, and he always will. Now, this chapter parallels 2 Kings 24 and 25, and also Jeremiah 39, and it sets the stage for our reading of Lamentations, which will be coming up, of course. Zedekiah was a rebel, not only against the king of Babylon, but also against the Lord, and he lost both battles. He led his sons and his leaders into death and himself into darkness and bondage, as we shall see as we read here today. The religious leaders who had persecuted Jeremiah were slain by the enemy. The temple was plundered despite the promises given by the false prophets. The walls were broken down, and the city and the temple were burned. God would rather destroy his city and his house than permit his people to sin successfully. If they will not glorify him in obedience, they must honor him in judgment. The people were deported to remain in captivity for 70 years. The words of Jeremiah were precious to them during those difficult years, just as God's word should be precious to his people in exile, so to speak, in this world today. This world is not our home. Follow Jeremiah's good example and joyfully feed on his word. October 28th. Jeremiah chapter 51, beginning at verse 54. We'll go through chapter 52, verse 34. "Listen, hear the cry of Babylon, the sound of great destruction from the land of the Babylonians. For the Lord is destroying Babylon. He will silence her. Waves of enemies pound against her. The noise of battle rings through the city. Destroying armies come against Babylon. Her mighty men are captured, and their weapons break in their hands. For the Lord is a God who gives punishment, and he is giving Babylon all she deserves. I will make drunk her officials, wise men, rulers, captains, and warriors, says the king, whose name is the Lord Almighty. They will fall asleep and never wake up again. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The wide walls of Babylon will be leveled to the ground, and her high gates will be burned. The builders from many lands have worked in vain, for their work will be destroyed by fire." The prophet Jeremiah gave this message to Zedekiah's staff officer, Seraiah, son of Neriah, and grandson of Maaseiah, when he went to Babylon with King Zedekiah of Judah. This was during the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign. Jeremiah had recorded on a scroll all the terrible disasters that would soon come upon Babylon. He said to Seraiah, "When you get to Babylon, read aloud everything on this scroll. Then say, 'Lord, you have said that you will destroy Babylon, so that neither people nor animals will remain here. She will lie empty and abandoned forever.' Then, when you have finished reading the scroll, tie it to a stone and throw it into the Euphrates River. Then say, 'In this same way, Babylon and her people will sink, never again to rise, because of the disasters I will bring upon her.'" This is the end of Jeremiah's messages. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. But Zedekiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Jehoiakim had done. So the Lord, in his anger, finally banished the people of Jerusalem and Judah from his presence and sent them into exile. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So on January 15th, during the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon led his entire army against Jerusalem. They surrounded the city and built siege ramps against its walls. Jerusalem was kept under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah's reign. By July 18th of Zedekiah's 11th year, the famine in the city had become very severe, with the last of the food entirely gone. Then a section of the city wall was broken down, and all the soldiers made plans to escape from the city. But since the city was surrounded by the Babylonians, they waited for nightfall and fled through the gate between the two walls behind the king's gardens. They made a dash across the fields in the direction of the Jordan Valley. But the Babylonians chased after them and caught King Zedekiah on the plains of Jericho, for by then his men had all abandoned him. They brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, where sentence was passed against him. There at Riblah, the king of Babylon made Zedekiah watch, as all his sons were killed. They also killed all the other leaders of Judah. Then they gouged out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him in bronze chains, and led him away to Babylon. Zedekiah remained there in prison for the rest of his life. On August 17th of that year, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, an official of the Babylonian king, arrived in Jerusalem. He burned down the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. He destroyed all the important buildings in the city. Then the captain of the guard supervised the entire Babylonian army as they tore down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, then took as exiles some of the poorest of the people and those who remained in the city, along with the rest of the craftsmen and the troops who had declared their allegiance to the king of Babylon. But Nebuzaradan allowed some of the poorest people to stay behind in Judah to care for the vineyards and fields. The Babylonians broke up the bronze pillars, the bronze water carts, and the bronze sea that were at the Lord's temple, and they carried all the bronze away to Babylon. They also took all the pots, shovels, lamp snuffers, basins, dishes, and all the other bronze utensils used for making sacrifices at the temple. Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, also took the small bowls, fire pans, basins, pots, lampstands, dishes, bowls used for drink offerings, and all the other utensils made of pure gold or silver. The bronze from the two pillars, the water carts, and the sea with the 12 bulls beneath it was too great to be measured. These things had been made for the Lord's temple in the days of King Solomon. Each of the pillars was 27 feet tall and 18 feet in circumference. They were hollow, with walls 3 inches thick. The bronze capital on top of each pillar was 7.5 feet high and was decorated with a network of bronze pomegranates all the way around. There were 96 pomegranates on the sides and a total of 100 on the network around the top. The captain of the guard took with him as prisoners Seraiah, the chief priest, his assistant, Zephaniah, and the 3 chief gatekeepers. And of the people still hiding in the city, he took an officer of the Judean army, 7 of the king's personal advisers, the army commander's chief secretary, who was in charge of recruitment, and 60 other citizens. Nebuzaradan, the commander, took them all to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And there at Riblah, in the hand of Hamath, the king of Babylon had them all put to death. So the people of Judah were sent into exile from their land. The number of captives taken to Babylon in the 7th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign was 3,023. Then in Nebuchadnezzar's 18th year, he took 832 more. In his 23rd year, he sent Nebuzaradan, his captain of the guard, who took 745 more, a total of 4,600 captives in all. In the 37th year of King Jehoiachin's exile in Babylon, Evil-Merodach ascended to the Babylonian throne. He was kind to Jehoiachin and released him from prison on March 31st of that year. He spoke pleasantly to Jehoiachin and gave him preferential treatment over all the other exiled kings in Babylon. He supplied Jehoiachin with new clothes to replace his prison garb and allowed him to dine at the king's table for the rest of his life. The Babylonian king also gave him a regular allowance to cover his living expenses until the day of his death. October 28th. And now as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, today we'll be looking into the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And here's what we'll find there as we read today. We'll find that we all need frequent reminders. Remember what you should do. Christians are citizens of earth as well as citizens of heaven. And we should be the kind of people described in these two brief verses. Remember what you were. God has forgotten our sins, and we should too. But it does us good to remember what it was like to be a lost sinner. And remember what God did for you. Did you deserve to hear the gospel and receive the gift of eternal life? No, it all happened because of God's kindness, love, and grace. He saved us. We did not save ourselves, cannot save ourselves. He has washed away our sins. We stand justified in His sight. And we face the future confidently because we are the heirs of God. And one other thing to remember. Remember what God expects of you. In his chapter-by-chapter Bible commentary, Warren Wiersbe says a major theme in this letter is good works. People who are busy for the Lord simply do not have time for useless arguments. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. October 28th, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Remind your Titus's people to submit to the government and to its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not speak evil of anyone, and they must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled by others and became slaves to many wicked desires and evil pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy. We hated others, and they hated us. But then God, our Savior, showed us His kindness and love. He saved us, not because of the good things we did, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins and gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, did. He declared us not guilty because of His great kindness. And now we know that we will inherit eternal life. These things I have told you are all true. I want you to insist on them so that everyone who trusts in God will be careful to do good deeds and all the time. These things are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These kinds of things are useless and a waste of time. If anyone is causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with that person. For people like that have turned away from the truth. They are sinning, and they condemn themselves. I am planning to send either Artemis or Tychicus to you. As soon as one of them arrives, do your best to meet me at Nicopolis as quickly as you can, for I have decided to stay there for the winter. Do everything you can to help Zenos the lawyer and Apollos with their trip. See that they are given everything they need, for our people should not have unproductive lives. They must learn to do good by helping others who have urgent needs. Everybody here sends greetings. Please give my greetings to all of the believers who love us. May God's grace be with you all. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. The hymn, Old Hundredth, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, is based on this psalm, as is the familiar doxology. Thanking the Lord is something we must do with our lives as well as with our lips. How shall we do it? Well, number one, by serving. Enter to worship, depart to serve. Should be written clearly above the door to the church sanctuary. Too many people serve themselves and not the Lord, and too often we do not serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord loves not only a cheerful giver, but a cheerful servant. And we do it by submitting. As creatures, we submit to the Creator who made us. As sheep, we submit to the Shepherd who died for us and now leads us in His paths. He not only made us, but He is making us as we yield to Him. Submission means fulfillment. And we serve by sacrificing. You see, as priests, we are privileged to offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. They include our songs of praise, good works, and material gifts. Because of who He is and what He does for us, He is certainly worthy of our joyful thanks. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. Just as damaging as a madman shooting a lethal weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, "I was only joking."